Before even introducing myself, let me introduce you, MC, as we call her, Marie-Claire, who has been in contact with you for the last few months, basically. And she and her team are here to make your life easy and comfortable and productive. Thank you, Marie-Claire. I am Laura Dubé. Many of you, for good or bad, have the pleasure to have been participating to our think tanks and research workshop for the last few years. Those of you, welcome back. We have this year two new crowd that I would like to welcome in particular. The first crowd is the group of the comparative modeling for childhood obesity, a network that is in the process of being created, and Thierry Yuang will be talking most likely more about this in the next couple of days. Many of the presenters and the participants are members of the team within this network for the system science modeling approach to childhood obesity. And the other group is our group, our contingent from India, led by Narendra, Aurora, and Manoj, Narendra and Manoj have been involved with the think tank for the last 4 or 5 years. And over the last few years, it has developed into a very interesting research collaboration that we will be also talking about tomorrow in the context of the application on which we are talking about this open source protocol development. So welcome. And before also I get to the content, two things. Our most sincere thanks to our strategic partners who are making this possible, and I won't list them. You have them in the program. And the second thing, which also is good for myself, the proceedings are recorded. So whenever we talk, we have to use the microphone. Okay, so I'd like to give you some extensive opening remark to give you a sense of this workshop he's hosted as a satellite to the think tanks, and we are, for the next 3 years, we have an inaugural program of the McGill World Platform for Health and Economic Convergence. And you have in the booklet, you have the executive summary of the concept brief. You have the table of content of a couple of books that will be coming out over the next year. And I'd like briefly, because the conception of the research workshop is very much in line with this line of work that we are developing, I'd like briefly to give you a walkthrough, and then we will be having an overview of the agenda and the objective of the workshop. So essentially, this McGill World Platform for Health and Economic Convergence, which we have, and you have here the two core components, and the Brain to Society Research Center is what we will be talking about the most, this agenda. But essentially, the McGill platform, we have been creating this between medicine and management with the idea that when many of our health problems are tied to what we do on the economic side, and when many of our economic problems are tied to what we do in health and healthcare, there may be a good value of creating a platform where we bring the best and the most visionary of mainstream health, mainstream business, mainstream economics, mainstream agriculture, mainstream education, and let's see how we can do things differently. So the platform itself is a combination of research, policy, innovation, and education, and it will evolve with the objective of being very much a part of the network of leading organizations that act at local, national, and global level. So the McGill partner and a network of local, national, and international partners. If I get now to the theme of the Bring to Society, which is at the core of the theme of the research workshop, I think we need, when we are saying that we need to bring system science, we need to bring more complex approach to addressing those issues such as obesity, such as other chronic disease that are tied to the fact that the modern environment that we have created do present some challenge for biology. And what we will see is that the complex system that we will propose to deal with is one where, as part of the same system, you have a biology that is possibly present some constraint, but is also much more flexible than we may have thought before, as well as a society where individuals who manage the various organizations also have brains and the power of creativity, and could we think of new pathways for better balance? And this is, if we look now in the context of the developing countries, because one of the things that we will see is that we will be discussing seeing developing countries and anything in between as also being part of the same system. And in the context the adaptation is even more challenging. So the context of obesity and nutrition is an important aspect to always have in mind as we will be discussing the theme of this workshop. The consideration also, as we will be talking about causes and pathways and solutions, the consideration simultaneously of what's happening local, national, and global level. So here, this bringing the system science to help do more than we have done so far. Diane Fingood here in her CIHR time and still now, Terry leading at NIH, Forsyth, Brioni is not here this year, but we have Ari from the UK. Everybody, we do recognize that there is a need to develop new ways, new paradigms, and to really see the biology, the individual themselves, and the various actors as being part of the same system. And you have here, everybody has seen this foresight, this spaghetti map, as it is commonly called, which was, I think, one of the most comprehensive efforts to try to map the various pathways to obesity. However, the point that I would like to make here, and I exploded a little section of this spaghetti map, is that this system map, if you look at the one here on food consumption, we look at food exposure, food abundance, de-skilling, food variety. So you have a whole diversity there. But what the point that I would like to make, it's still a map of the what's. What do you think are causing obesity? What do we think should be changed? But it is not a map of trying to understand how to change those various sectors. And when we talk about food variety, food abundance, portion size, it is a very broad diversity of other sectors in which you need to bring change. So this bring to society approach to choice that we is kind of the broad overarching agenda at the platform is to say, let's build on the best of what is done currently along the side of complex system. Let's bring to this also most cutting-edge knowledge of what we know of biology and of, in particular, the brain, which is, as I said earlier, not only the part of biology that guides a good part of your reaction to the environment, but that's also the part that brings creativity and our ability to find different ways. And here, the difference that the point that I would like to make is that Yes, let's look at understanding the individual choice and their determinants, the what's, but let's also develop a complementary science that makes you understand the mechanism that underline how community operates, how business operates, how markets supply. So very briefly, yesterday at the end of the meeting, someone was asking what is the Bring to Society protocol agenda. Just briefly, the examining individual choice and its multi-level Bring to Society determinant. Most of my colleagues from the Bring to Society are in the audience, so we'll get to know them. But the agenda really, in examining the individual level choice, can go from fMRI, the work that Alain Daguerre, my colleague here, is doing in examining the DOPA pathways that are one among other key mechanisms operating at the interface of the environment and behavior. You get also a series of work that build upon, importantly, of the work of Antoine Béchara, who is a pioneer in the study of those decision neuroscience and who just joined McGill. Another part is that, okay, let's understand individual in his biology and so on, but let's also look at this individual in its social context, the buffer or the protective or the intensifying role that the social networks, social network, social capital. And let's look also at this individual within its physical environment, looking at commercial, looking at physical and various aspects. Just briefly, I won't at all give you any report on the work, except for this one, which gives a sense of why it is important to look at this biology, behavior, and environment as being part of the same system and not either one or the other. This is it's not fMRI or neurocognitive step test at this point in time. It is a psychological measure of a very well validated to reflect the neurobiological vulnerability to the presence of cue. To what extent, when you see you see food, you want to grab it. And we did in 415 adults, it's not children, we did with 415 adults, we had them, we geographically located them with a buffer of 500 meters around their residence and look at the density of fast food relative to other food supply in their environment and look at their fast food consumption. And in doing the analysis at the overall level, there was no significant relationship between whether you live in the high density fast food, you were not more likely to have eaten more. This is an adult population. However, when you start looking at individual differences in this neurobiological vulnerability, you get for your top tertile those who are really intensely vulnerable to the environment. For them, it was quite a significant and important relationship. This is after having control for revenue, income, and so on. So I wanted to bring this at the beginning of our discussion of this multi-level and system science to emphasize the fact that as we will be going through the agenda and looking at level by level what contributes to individual choice, it is also extremely important to look at biology and environment in the context of their interaction. And so if I come back here so far, I have just talked about the individual choice component, the what, the determinants, and so on. I would like briefly to walk you through when we look at the developing a system science of the house. For me, it is now looking back at the choice that we make, but the choice that we make as organizations, as collectivities, as business, as markets, because if we are to move beyond saying that everybody should behave, We need to understand much more the motive, the mechanism, the process, and the logistic, and so on. And I will give you briefly the example of business, because one of the contexts we'll be discussing tomorrow is in the context of the food industry. But it applies for school, it applies for community, it applies for all non-health sectors that we need to change if we want to improve childhood obesity. Childhood obesity and other diet-related disease. So just briefly, the type of techniques that my colleagues on the management side would do to study in business and value chains and markets, there is a science there, there is theory, there is model, there is data, and in the group here today, we have some of our most exceptional scientists on the management, on the marketing, on the political science, and I think it is important to start developing this science of the house that need to draw from all the discipline involved. So here, this is the standard value chain analysis to understand what are the actors, what is the games that is playing. For instance, if a business does something, what is the reaction along the chain? What is the relative impact of various policy as a function of different economic or commercial conditions, or in various city, in various countries? And When I talk about starting to understand the rule of the game, this is here a graph that represents the structure of the distribution in Europe. You see, the actual decision power is basically concentrated in 600 of those organizations by opposition to the... So if you want to impact significantly this value chain, you're better to understand the structure, the dynamics, where does the power lie, and then kind of move in what can be done. The same... I will skip. The notion of the value chain, I think that it is something that is getting relatively well known here. But this notion of looking at research, transportation, policy regulation, communication, production, financial services, so the science of the house and the complex system that we need to take into consideration also include those. And here, and all of this, the point that I want to make, and for our colleagues from India, when we study a non-health system, understanding the dynamics and understanding here also the diversity. I was talking about the whole concentration of the value chain in the supermarket. This is here the value chain of Amul, the basis of the production of Amul, which is this cooperative from India that is now, I think they have surpassed Nestle as being one of the major producers. And it all starts by collecting milk in the way you have seen here in the little village of India, but finding way to build synergy, build capacity along the way so that you get more integration into value chains and markets and so on. So the challenge that I'd like to give us is that as we develop this system science, let's move, that's the last of those slides that I will show you. We call this a whole of society value chain, in the sense that if we see eating as being supply and demand of food being brought at the individual levels, it means that you can start with agriculture and so on, but there is also the work that we need to do at the level of health profession, nutrition, health, education, community and environment, media and culture. And that is also an integral part of what the systems that we need to change. And that, I think I will here, that brings us, in fact, to the research workshop and in what we are here about, is to set new frontier for this multi-level study of childhood obesity and other lifestyle with the system science of the what's and the how's. And I'd like to see that we move the field beyond where we are now. And it is so pervasive in terms of undertaking that clearly the only approach to move significantly is to have an open innovation approach, an approach where over time, distributed networks, research are being done with replication in various sites, various countries, and so on. And this knowledge system, I think, if we combine the what's and the how's, we will have much more chance to use it to drive change on the ground. And that means that if we look, and that will be part of the that was the replication, looking being back to looking at individual and their biology, but in different social, commercial environment, and so on. Here, if we come back to the systems that we see as being together, you have the individual biology and so on, but you have the society system, whether it is education and so on, or the commercial side that feeds into it. And basically the workshop then, if we look at what we are here to do, the first thing that we do is this morning, we will take time to look at what are the solid data out there on the food and nutrition side primarily to take as a start. Because one of the things that becomes clearer every day is that getting the appropriate data to do from the design to the implementation and evaluation and so on of specific intervention, you get the basic surveillance that is done at the population level. There is absolutely a need to take time to understand what are the data out there, what information do they give us on the parameters that we will be building upon as in this understanding this complex system of the what's and the how. So this morning we will be having I think six cohorts that cover both developed and developing country, that cover also, and that will be the second part, cohorts that have already woven into them this measure of biology and health and behavior. Then this afternoon, we will be having a presentation of four of the most interesting system science methods, those computational approaches that allow us to capture the structure and the dynamics of that complexity. And it will go from ability to map the brain to ability to map society. And tomorrow is when we have this open innovation protocol where my colleague Terry and Ross here will take the leadership in this exercise where together we will taking as a context to build those systems for surveillance that cover this brain to society and taking the actual projects that is in the making between Montreal and Delhi, but then also taking the two type of intervention in mind, one which is the more traditional school and community intervention, and the second one will be one that tap into the value chain. When we look at food, we can talk about whether it's marketing, product formulation, nutrition labeling, and so on. There are currently both policies in the making. There are also industry initiatives, and one such initiative in the USA and such pledge had been done for a few number of years now. I think they are now reaching some depth where pledge are made of working on reducing marketing, reducing improving the nutritional quality of food process and various aspects that should improve the nutritional quality of the food supply. And when when they announced this most recent initiative, Robert Wood Johnson Foundation have promised to do an independent evaluation of this. And this is very much in that context that our discussion will feed a real agenda of, well, what is it that we want to measure when we so progressively with this Open Innovation Protocol, groups will be formed within each domains of expertise working in unraveling within that level, what are the mechanisms, what are the interventions, what are we looking at in terms of the outcome, which is BMI and LT eating. And then we come back to fill this complex system matrix in terms of where are the data, what are the key factors, what are the models, and so on. And the outcome of this will be published and will be made available to really feed everyone's agenda because if the genome was developed only with open innovation, when we think that it's the whole of society that we need to change, we are better ready to be collaborating in an in-depth and comprehensive way. So I will stop here and let Alain and Margaret, I think, moderating the first part.
Series of 10 minutes.